So great to be with you. I want to jump straight into scripture, and most of what you're going to see is scripture, and then you may have, as Rob said, questions, and we'll go from there. Let's pray just a moment. Father, thanks so much for the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of being your children, and anyone who's here that doesn't know you, Lord, we just pray that you would draw them to faith in Jesus, the great treasure. There's no one like him. There's no one who can change our lives as he can, and as in many of our cases, he already has. And pray, Father, that we would continue to grow in our sanctification, and we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, God is not unjust, and I actually have a, here we go. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. That is an amazing statement. Why does God concern himself about whether we will think of him as just? Usually when we think of the justice of God, it's kind of a scary thought, right? Because we're going to be held accountable. But he's saying, I'm not unjust. I'm watching what you do. I will not forget your work. I will not forget the love that you have shown me, as God is speaking it, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So you know, this is a classic Matthew 25. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, so you have done it unto me. God takes personally what we do for him as we help other people. So in that we're helping them, we are doing a service to God who is keeping track, and he will not forget. I'll tell you what, sometimes you think about, well, God will not forget, but, and again, that can sound scary. Of course, he does forgive us, and he knows every bad thing we've ever done or ever will do. And his forgiveness is full and rich, but he will not forget all the good things we've done. The gold and silver and precious stones and all of that means so much to him. John Bunyan, who spent years and years in prison where he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, who was a pastor who disobeyed the law. He didn't have what we would call like a registered church in China today or in other parts of the world. But he continued to preach and meet anyway. And he said, consider to provoke you to good works. Now, this is what should make you excited about doing good works, that you shall have from God when you come to glory a reward for everything you do for him on the earth. Now that is a really truly stunning statement, that God will reward everything you do for him on earth. It is impossible, Hebrews 11:6 says, to please God without faith. Now listen to this. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe two things. This is a two-point checklist here, okay? First, believe that God exists. Okay, well, I think most of us are there. Not everybody's there in the world, of course, but okay, believe that God exists. And what's the second thing that you gotta believe? That he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now, one of the things when you've written on the subject of rewards, as I have, and my book, The Law of Rewards, originally came out 20 years ago, just updated it. The new version came out maybe 5-6 months ago. And I can tell you that if you talk about that subject or write about that subject, you are going to get tons of emails, and a lot of them are not going to be very nice. And here's the reason. Why? Because as evangelical Christians, we are very conscious of the idea that our works mean nothing to God. We are not saved by our works. Of course we're not saved by our works, but that doesn't mean our works mean nothing to God. On the contrary, I had somebody tell me one time, I guess, so apparently you're a Catholic. And I go, well, I'm not. I mean, no offense to people who are, but it's like, why are you saying that? Well, because you're talking about works, you're talking about rewards for works we've done. I don't care about rewards. I just give me a little corner of heaven. That's all I ask, you know? And it's like, well, you don't care about rewards, but God does. So let's let God determine the value we ascribe to rewards instead of us in false humility saying, oh no, don't give me any rewards, I don't care, doesn't matter. Well, you'll see from these scriptures, and a lot of you already know that they matter to God. God rewards those who sincerely seek him. So here it is in 1 Corinthians 3. If any man builds on this foundation, the foundation is Jesus Christ in the context there, using gold and silver and costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, capitalized, that day of judgment will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now, unfortunately, speaking of Roman Catholics, there are some who use this verse to defend the concept of purgatory. There's any number of problems with that, one of which is, what in the world makes us think that we could, to any degree, even begin to atone for any of our sins? Only Christ can atone for our sins. What it's saying is, he will suffer loss of what? Well, the context is reward. Loss of reward. So you'll still be saved, because you're saved only by the blood of Jesus and by his grace that has extended his free gift of salvation. But if God says in his inspired word, the Apostle Paul says that we can suffer loss because we have failed to faithfully serve him and do what he has called us to do, shouldn't that capture our attention? That is a severe warning. Now, again, not loss of salvation warning, but still a very serious one. So 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10 says, we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each and every one of us may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That probably raises some questions and might be one of the ones you ask. From everyone who has been given much, Jesus said, much will be demanded, required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And I look at my life, I look at what God has given me and the people in my life that he's given me, and I'm telling you, I'm acutely aware of my accountability to him. Some people have said, I didn't plan on saying this, but it's not going to stop me apparently. But I have spoken on platforms in the last year with three more men who have fallen, and before that, the year before that was a couple, and the year before that was a couple, and then it just goes on and on and on. You'd recognize their names. And some people have said, well, what keeps you from falling? I said, well, I would like to say it's only that I love God. That'd be nice. That's very virtuous. You can't trump love, right? Love is better than anything. But I say it's really not only that. It is also the fear of God, because I know that I could be disqualified. And I'm telling you, that frightens me, and it should frighten me. Now, some people say, oh, you should just be secure in the love of God and, you know, and all of that. Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that were thinking they were secure in the love of God, and they have made horribly unwise choices. And I'm just telling you, you're targeted. Anyone who's in any ministry, Whether that ministry is pastoral ministry or whether it's financial management ministry, whether you know you are a missionary or you're a kingdom advisor, you've got a target on you, because if God can mess your life up, you in turn will mess up, at very least through the counsel you give, the lives of countless other people. So we're talking about something very, very serious. We will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. And here's what I love in 1 Corinthians 4:5, where it says, "At that time, each will receive his praise from God." God's going to find something in the life of every one of his genuine born-again children that he will praise. And that to me is pretty amazing. We all have that to look forward to. But don't we want to live our lives in such a way, empowered by his Holy Spirit? It's not just that we check off the box, do these works, and now this keeps my life holy and pure. But we do have to expend effort with the power of the Holy Spirit as being absolutely essential, but we also need to beg him for the will to obey him, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and inherit eternal life. Wow. Talk about benefits that are out of proportion to the cost, but that's what he promises us. And then in one of the passages in the Gospels, it says, both in this life and the life to come, not only do we wait for eternity to receive a payoff, there is nothing more gratifying than following the Lord and that sense of this is what God wants me to do. As I was talking with someone who's in this room, my financial advisor, who's a kingdom advisor, this last week, and talking about retirement funds, and I don't need them all. I'm 70 years old. I'm doing fine. I don't have anything to be concerned about, and I am, like you are, among the wealthiest people in the world. Now, not everybody would think that, but I think that, and I believe that is absolutely true. And so I'm having the joy of figuring out what to do with some the retirement funds that have been set aside, which now I know I'm in a position, my wife's home with Jesus, and I am not going to need this, so I'm looking at which kingdom ministries to put it into, and we do that through our ministry all the time. And I'm telling you, I stay awake at night thinking about what difference it can make. And there is a thrill in that. That's a payoff in this life. That's not a reward that comes from God later on. It's the satisfaction of knowing that you're pleasing the Lord and honoring him, and you're feeding hungry children. And help deliver people from sexual bondage and all of the horrible things that exist in the world, and getting them clean water and getting them the gospel. And there's nothing like that. The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." See, what you did for me, according to what he has done. So doing, does God value doing? Oh no, God's just all about believing. It just, all that matters is what you believe. No, these passages are not talking about what you believe. Now, what you believe is vitally important. I'm very committed to strong theology, biblical thought, and worldview that honors Jesus.
So I'm not ever going to disparage theology, but if you think that it's just about what you believe, what do you do with these passages? What you did for me? He will reward each person according to what he has done. Those are actual verbs, right? You do something. God will give to each person according to what he has done. That's saying the same thing the other passage did, but it's a different passage. This is a perpetual theme in Scripture, and God's promise of reward is, I actually think, the single most neglected doctrine in Scripture. There's a few that you could argue are right up there with it in terms of being neglected and misunderstood, but this one I think is vital, and it's just huge. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And Luke 6, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you say, oh, God doesn't want us to be motivated by reward. Well, if that was true, this verse would make no sense whatsoever. Then your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, because sons and daughters bear a likeness to their father, right? That's the point. You will be sons of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And when you are kind on his behalf, you are bringing glory to him. So Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Well, what did Jim Elliot give up? His life and the four missionary martyrs who died with him in Ecuador gave up his life. But here's the thing. You would be really remiss to think, oh, Jim Elliot, he's one of those spiritual missionary guys, and he wasn't thinking about gain. He was willing to just lose everything. He wasn't thinking about gain. No. The whole point of his statement is gain. This is a man who wants gain. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We should be thinking of kingdom gain. We should be thinking of hearing Jesus say to us, this is just a miracle, I think about this. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness, which, by the way, you don't have to wait till you die to enter into his happiness when you are serving him. This life is tough. I don't minimize that. My wife, Nancy, went home to be with Jesus just less than 3 years ago. I miss her every day. It's not easy, but it's glorious, because when we look to the life to come and we look to the eternal payoffs of knowing him and serving him, then all that is good still lies ahead of us. We don't have to have all the treasures we can possibly have in this life, because we can store up those treasures in the world to come. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then some of you are familiar with my book, The Treasure Principle. You can't take it with you, and everybody knows that, but you can send it on ahead, and not everybody seems to know that. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. What a promise. What an incredible promise. Jesus said, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. To which the disciples are probably thinking, that's the point, right? But you, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous when God distributes his rewards, the judgment seat. Okay, so are we supposed to want to be repaid for the good things we have done? Well,
In one sense, the answer is no. In this life, it's like, no, do it anyway, regardless. But he's appealing to our desire. They can't repay you, but you will be repaid. Because when the human being can't repay you, there's only God left to repay you. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather receive something from the hand of God any day than the hand of any person on earth. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. I'll put you over 5 cities, put you over 10 cities. My wife, Nancy, used to say, Randy, since God entrusted stewardship of animals to us, do you think you'd be okay if I asked the Lord to give me 100 dogs on the new earth? And I could just care for them. I said, I think that'd be fine for you to ask him, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if he would reward you in that way. Come and share your master's happiness. You sympathize, Hebrews 10 says, with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Wait, how is that possible? Sometimes we read scripture and it's like we just pass over it. Oh yeah, you know, joyfully accept the confiscation of your property. Would you be joyful if your property was confiscated? Because, and here's the reason, this is how you can have joy when something like that happens. Because you knew that you yourself had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded, your confidence, your faith in God, your trust in him. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Let us not become weary in doing good. Have you ever gotten tired when you've been working hard at doing something good? I have. It's not that often, but there are times where I just go, wow, no good deed goes unpunished, you know, that old thing. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest. Don't keep trying to reap the harvest before the proper time. There is a proper time, and that is when we're with Jesus. Now, yes, there are payoffs in this life, just like we've talked about, and God graciously gives them to us. But don't give up, and this is a reason not to give up. God doesn't settle all his accounts in October. I was going to tell you a story about that, but I don't have time. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you. Now listen, okay, the word that's translated blessed is Makarios. I've written a big book on this and several small books on happiness. And this word that's translated blessed, Makarios, means happy. That was just a common word meaning happy in the Greek language. Happy are you when men hate you, when they exclude and insult you, and reject your name as evil. It gets worse and worse because of the Son of Man. What are you even talking about? I love this. I love just speaking to the college students earlier today. I just love the radical things that Jesus says that just like slap us across the face or at least throw cold water on our face. Pay attention to this. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Why are you leaping for joy? Because you're being insulted, rejected, your name is evil because of Jesus. And so rejoice in that day and leap for joy because why? There it is. Because great is your reward in heaven. And that reality, if you believe it, and I'm telling you, I believe it with all my heart, and I believe it more than I have ever believed it in my life, even though I've believed it for years and years. Great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. Do you not know, Paul says, that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last
forever. Now, again, to some people, this is like, oh, that's so crass. That's mercenary. Motivation by reward. Well, let me ask you this question. Whose idea was it? Whose words are these? All these words we've been looking at. If you and I had come up with the idea that God, who saves us by his grace, should hand out rewards for us for all the good things we've ever done, that would be blasphemy if we came up with that idea. But we didn't. He did. And so if back when my daughters, including Jake's mom, my youngest daughter, back in the day, if I would have said, hey, on Saturday, we're going to clean up everything, and we're going to spend the day working on the house and the yard, and then we'll dress up and I'll take you out to a nice dinner, how would I want them to respond? Would I want them to respond, no, Dad, we'll do all those things, but we don't care about the nice dinner. And if I had offered to pay them, which I would have, to do this work for this whole day, but we don't care about the money, all that. No, what would my response be as their dad? I want them to want what I offered them, right? Doesn't every good father, every good mother want our kids to want them? Well, this is what God is calling us. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Just wrapping up here, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Now, you're probably thinking, I just cherry-picked every passage of scripture related to reward. Are you kidding? You can't believe what I left out. I mean, I left out most of my book, The Law of Rewards. I mean, slaves, obey your earthly masters and everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Bottom line, here it is. Your life on earth matters. As a kingdom advisor, as a man, woman of God, as a parent, as a volunteer at church, whatever it is you do for him, your life on earth matters. He's watching. He's keeping track. Like the churches in Revelation, you know how I have this for you and I have this against you and all of it. He's keeping track. Your work for Christ matters. What you do for the glory of Jesus and the good of others will last forever. We will have people seated beside us at great banquets on the new earth. The resurrected people of God serving the resurrected Jesus who's on the throne, and a resurrected nature, a new world, as Romans 8 says, no longer groaning, but receiving the benefits of the redemption of God's people forever. Your reward will be great. And if you serve him, you won't be perfect. But if you truly serve him, desiring to glorify him, you will hear those words. And when we hear these words, if we hear these words, it's like nothing else will matter. No cost we ever paid. Nothing we gave up will matter. We will not stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, I wish I wouldn't have given so much away to your kingdom. I wish I hadn't stayed up all those nights and served those needy people. We will not say that. We will only wish that we had done more. And not talking about regretting forever in heaven, but I am talking about at the judgment seat of Christ, we will know that it mattered, and it mattered more than anything else. Let's pray for a moment, and then we'll do the Q&A. Father, I just looking at some of the faces out here, my dear brothers and sisters, I know that you are speaking. And Lord, would you just bring us to grips with your word and what it says? This is all from you. Every word of this, I think everything maybe but the John Bunyan quote was from
was from you, from your inspired word. And Lord, help us to live in light of these realities. And I ask your hand of blessing on all these brothers and sisters as we move to the Q&A. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.